It's Wednesday, September 26th, and we've hit the final week of the baseball season. The Brewers are playing some good ball, and they look to be headed for the postseason. Knock on wood. We'll hand out some of our season awards. Over to the Packers. They lose in the nation's capital this past weekend, but on this hump day, we turn the page to the Buffalo Bills. The Packers are suddenly dealing with injuries. Devon House goes to IR. They bring in Bashaud Breeland, and Byron Bell slated to start at right tackle.
Yikes.
We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome back to the Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 306. How's everybody doing?
Charlie, you're with you.
Mitch on the ones and twos, as always. Coming
Sir.
To you on a rainy Wednesday here in Milwaukee. Mitch, how you doing, bud?
Good. Tremendous.
Good.
It's a great time to be alive, actually. It's setting up to be a crazy sports week.
Yeah, thanks.
Really from...
rub this in. Okay.
You know?
All right, we're
really
going to start
here. From about... probably starting, you know, you could argue right now.
Yeah. Right now until whenever the Brewers get eliminated out of the playoffs.
It helps when you have top five players in all of your leagues.
Right, exactly. You have a top five baseball player in Christian Yelich, top five player in football in Aaron Rodgers, even with his knee being what it is. Mm-hmm. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the Bucks going to get started in their preseason games next week while I'm in jolly old London. And yes, I will miss this. And so from a programming standpoint, Mitch and I really haven't talked about it. Either I'll do a daily tap on Monday or I'll do a daily tap Monday for sure. And then either we'll do Tapping the Keg for Tuesday or I'll just do a daily tap. We'll wrap it up. If I don't do a Tapping the Keg, maybe you get a Mitch and Murph Tapping the Keg while I'm gone. We'll still have some content rolling. I plan to do a weekend watch list, not overseas, but just sort of there, and maybe clips here and there of me probably yelling and screaming in bed as it's like 3 a.m. while I'm watching the Brewers.
Yeah, it's going to be
so it's a 7 hour
a weird sleep schedule.
So it's a 7 hour time difference. So I'm screwed if it's the Brewers playing the Cubs, which it probably will be. If it's I'm screwed because those are going to be the night games. They love to have the Cubs on prime time.
Yep.
The Cubs put ass in the seats, which basically fucks me because that means that the games are on at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, which is the in between time.
It's the worst because if you
too early to get up early and too late to stay up late.
Right. So if they did a 3 o'clock game, you know, then it's like 10 o'clock. Then it's like a 10 o'clock start.
And if it's like watching a West Coast game here,
exactly. And if it's a noon start, it's you're picking shit. Like it's 7 o'clock and you're fine. We have an off day on Sunday, so like my thought is like, well, I could go to a premier game, or maybe not even a premier game, but like maybe like the second level or the third level, like just go to a soccer game,
like Fulham. Fulham Fulham is in London, and
they're
I believe in the second.
So
group.
I'm gonna do some research on that, but we have an off day. Like, of course, my mom has this like thing all planned out. So, and then go watch the Packers at night because the game's at 7. So go find a bar to go watch the kind of the first slate of games and potentially the Brewers too. And it'd just be a great Sunday and have myself a hell of a Sunday, even though I'm overseas.
That could be shaping up to be a good run next week.
And then you have the McGregor fight on Saturday night and that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's also too.
Against...
I can't pronounce the guy's name. Don't make me do it.
Khabib or whatever.
The guy, they like hate each other.
I destroyed that. I don't even know what that name is.
It's UFC.
I heard of him the other day because of what McGregor did. He tried to give him a bottle of whiskey or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's UFC 229. So that's next Saturday. So yeah, a lot of sports going on, man. I don't miss that much.
I can guarantee you I won't watch that.
Nah, I probably wouldn't either. There are some bars. I saw Jax is now like daily. I think they aren't even charging a cover. It's like just first come, first serve. And then basically if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. So not too bad there. But yeah, no, it'll be okay. We'll live being in jolly old London. It's still vacation. I'm still happy to do it. I'm not shitting on my vacation that, you know, has been planned for like 2 years. So definitely not the case.
Trying to get a drop for you here.
They're coming, Wiki Wiki.
Can you get some towels for me, please? I'm really losing a lot of blood.
You sound like you're from London. Yeah, I'm from London.
There you go.
You bet. Hopefully, I think I'd probably get hit in the face if I do that over there.
But oh, probably.
Probably get called a wanker.
It should be an exciting trip, though.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm sure I'll have a few stories. I'm sure my dad will have a few comments. I'm sure he'll make some off-color comment about Trump over there that might get us in trouble, but that'll be okay. We'll live.
Yeah, he's more our problem than their problem, though.
So. Exactly. I don't know. We've dealt with it for 2 years now, but we're okay.
Yeah.
We'll live. So
I'm good.
Exactly. But yes, it's shaping up to be – this is a great time of year. October is the premier sports month, in my opinion. I don't think you get better. Now the fact that the NBA is in full swing by the end of October really makes it the king of month. So, yes, you're getting to that. I mean, you have the NBA going. You'll have literally every sport, and that's amazing. It'll be a great – and it's even better when you – like you said, pardon me, the Brewers are involved, and so –
For the first time in quite some time.
Yes.
I mean, that was 7 years ago.
Right. And 2004, they teased us in 2014.
Yep.
They teased us last year, but they never got this far.
I mean, people are still blaming, or not blaming, but sort of using that as like the 2014 team and other teams in the past, teams that fell short. And it's on this year's team. Like, I just don't feel good because of what happened. And it's just like, that's not fair.
Yeah. And we've talked about this, I mean, almost obsessively. Like, we've talked about this a lot in the last year and a half about how this is different. This is totally a different team. That team was built on veterans. This is more built on young guys.
Yep.
This is, are they a year early? Maybe. Could next year be more of their year in terms of just everybody's developed, you have a more of a pitching staff, and you could win more like 100 games and be the top team in the National League, maybe right there with the Braves, who I think
could finally pass the Cubs.
Yes, and I think that's true. I think that's, you know, accurate. Granted, I don't think this is a very good Cubs team. That's kind of the secret, right? Cubs have Chris Bryant, who has a shoulder injury. You have Addison Russell going through his thing. You don't really have a pitching staff.
Well, and he will probably be gone.
Yes.
You would
imagine. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be on the postseason.
I don't think anyone would ever pick him up. I mean,
no,
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's really bad. But
let's put it this way. Some team will probably be willing to deal with the PR shitstorm.
Yeah.
But, I'm guessing the Cubs. The thing about the Cubs is like they have enough talent that it's just like, okay, we can let this guy go.
Exactly. We'll play Javi. We'll play Javi Baez at shortstop, we'll sign Danny Murphy back for a 1 year deal and have him play. No,
so they get to look great even though they don't even need him. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Right. And so, but yeah, no, I think the Brewers. I think it's no matter what happens. So obviously, if for some god awful reason they missed the playoffs. Which I don't think will happen. I mean, baseball is crazy. Anything can happen, but it would take a real act of God.
And yeah, at this point.
And we're taping Tuesday night. They're up 2-0 as we tape. It would take a lot. So that being said, you know, even if they just get to the wild card game and don't win, it's still a success for this team because the fact of the matter is that it is that baseball is really hard to get to the playoffs,
correct.
No matter what.
And they took the next step.
Exactly.
I mean, they went from a 65 win team to an 86 win team to probably like a 92 win team.
Right.
And, you know, it is a postseason berth.
Right. And if they, and I think JP Cadoran had this today, if they go 4-1 to finish the stretch and the Cubs go 2-4, the Brewers would win the division.
Correct. The thing I thought about tweeting today was, since they got to 90, was being like, the Brewers can now go 0-5 the rest of the way in order to win 90 games. Because I kept seeing those tweets a month ago being the Brewers have to go, you know, 14-10 the rest of the way or 17-8 or something the rest of the way to finish at 90 wins.
Well,
and I wanted to just be like, the Brewers can go 0-5.
I think a lot
games.
Of people who are kind of being keyboard gangsters or who are calling into these radio shows aren't really watching every game. Like, I hate to be that guy, but if you watch how the Brewers are winning some of these games, you're kind of like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah.
And their
offense is very inconsistent. I mean,
sure.
It's been fine, you know, the very recent days that we talked, but I mean, you just had a recent stretch where you went 3 out of 4 games where you scored like one run or less.
But that's baseball in a way, though, right?
Yeah, like, no, it is.
And also, they're just, I think they're putting a lot more pressure on teams because they're walking more. Their walks are doubled.
Yep.
So they're taking a ton more
Granderson,
walks.
I mean, Granderson's been amazing. You know, it's funny. Tim Allen pointed it out to me over the weekend. It was like, I'm like, man, he's hitting 206. He might want to, like, think about something. He's like, yeah, look at that on base, though. And I'm like, I'll have to do that. And I looked it up, 425. I was like, sheesh.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Exactly. And
he then, just, the dude just a walking machine. So is Kane.
Yeah, exactly. And they make, and that's what I mean is that that's why Bud Norris, I think, kind of like freaked out because he was like, oh, I don't know why I need to check Moustakas, but I need to do something. They just make pitchers nervous. And saw it in that Pittsburgh game where the guy had the 3-run wild pitch.
Yeah.
I think they're an imposing lineup.
That's the worst outing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You almost have to retire at the spot.
Pretty much.
You just have to say.
I mean, he walked in two guys. Yeah. I think he walked the bases loaded, walked in two guys.
I think he hit Christian Yelich, okay, too.
Yeah, one so just so, could yeah. not throw a strike.
No, I think you just retire. I just think you say, I'm done.
Pretty close.
So, but no, and we're going to hand out some hardware. And these are kind of agreed upon with Mitch and I. And if we have any debates, we can obviously talk about. But the obvious MVP of the team is Christian Yelich. I don't think there are some contenders, but for a full year, it's Christian Yelich because just. In August, that guy basically held the water.
Yeah.
This Brewers team could have easily spiraled, and if not for Christian Yelich, they probably do. Or they don't have Christian Yelich, they spiral out of control. Correct.
And the thing about him is that, like, he was doing kind of like his, you know, I knew he was a good player. I knew he was a young player kind of bringing, you know, getting to his prime, coming in, starting at the beginning of his prime in baseball. And, you know, he kind of did that for the first half, made the All-Star team, was hitting, like, you know, 290,
right?
Whatever. And ever since the All-Star break, he's been tremendous. He seems to get better every game. He does something else that is just, you know, huge. You know, an RBI double in Monday night's game.
He's the most exciting player on the Brewers right now.
Yeah.
He is Ryan Braun circa 2011, yeah, but almost better. And not like he's better because he's a professional hitter. Like Ryan Braun was a great hitter, and I don't take that away, but Yelich does, like, he hits into so many double plays because he just hits the ball so fucking hard.
Right. And look at Monday night, too, the run to tie it. Yeah. I mean, he gets a hold of a 103-mile-an-hour fastball at his kneecaps and chops it and takes a tremendous play from Paul DeJong.
You're right.
To save two runs.
Exactly.
He's still got the run in, but, I mean, just to make contact, like, everybody else is, you know, fouling him off and, you know, getting blown away.
Yeah.
It's like, he's kind of, Jordan Hicks is his name, yeah, right?
Fake Josh Hader. People like to compare
him. I was going to say, he's like their Hader, but I mean, he is not as good.
He's a poor man's Hader.
Clearly. Josh Hader's on a historic strikeout rate here. Yeah, so let's not even, I can't be bothered with that type of talk.
Well, people acted like that earlier in the year. I wrote a blog on StillTapWI. It's a website about just the comparison was just not true at all.
Yep.
But no, Yelich definitely deserves it. I think just the power numbers alone, you know, he had so many games where he was the offense, and whether it was through powers, doubles, triples, he was great. And now,
and apparently we want to talk about, you know, I think he should be the NL MVP now.
Yeah, that's true.
And we want to talk about defense so much in there for some reason.
Exactly. Yeah. There have been people, a lot of,
here's the thing about Javi Baez. And I know, I mean, this discussion has been kind of beat to death now, but the thing about Baez is like, oh, he plays at a gold glove level at shortstop, second base, third base. And it's like, well, first of all, you shift so much that at halftime you're probably playing shortstop anyway.
Right.
And then how is that really much different than left, center, right? I mean, it's apples to oranges a little bit because it's outfield, infield, but it's still that same concept.
And I just don't get how people can compare it to from like just an on-base percentage. Like the guy doesn't take any walks. He has less than 20 walks this year. He's not a complete player. Yeah. Like, he's a really good player, don't get me wrong. But I think the reason why Cubs fans are standing so hard for Baez is because he's a fan favorite that kind of rose from the ashes. There were these same motherfuckers were burying him 2 years ago and wanted him traded. And now he's become, you know, MVP quality player.
Well, he's, you know, he's a Carlos Gomez type where it's like, he's on your team, you know.
Yes, 100%.
You love him, and if you don't, you hate him.
I will say,
Gio Gonzalez has had an RBI single.
Love it. He's hit. He has. He's batting like 0-55 this year. So amazing. I saw it. No, oh, he is. He's terrible. This
he's
is like
he's 0-80 right. Could be right now. No,
that's his fourth hit. Because my dad and I, we went to the game last Wednesday and he was pitching and we were laughing at it. He's only had three hits in like 47 tries or something like that. And then he got on base. Matt Harvey walked him and then Aguilar hits the home run.
Wow.
And I don't know. Maybe something sparked him. Don't let Gio get hot.
Jonathan Scope scored a run. My God.
Coming up, Milhouse, man.
Exactly.
I will lob this. I know we were talking about, well, Baez, I mean, just, I think it's, there's just an adoring from Cubs fans. I think Yelich,
plus you had the whole Keith Law thing, too.
Oh, Keith Law can go fuck himself. you know what? Keith Law is such a loser. He really is. That guy has tried so hard to be relevant through the last few years.
Should make a shirt that says, "Who's Keith Law?"
I would love that. I would paint it. I might paint it on my body. Like who
Dude,
is...
Dude, we should go to that wild card game and paint that on ourselves.
Who is Keith Law? Yeah. You can bring
Who are you?
Who are you? Keith! Sir, resign! Sir!
Yep.
But no, Keith Law is an idiot. He's just such
well,
a
he
fucking
goes, he's, I mean, have you ever seen a national baseball writer of all sports sort of go after Brewer fans and say...
No.
You know, and mock Brewer fans.
Nah.
Like, Javi Baez is not that fucking good.
And that's what I was also going to say about baseball writers. Baseball writers are, even though they're crotchety, even though that they can be antiquated at times, they are smart. Like, they don't really give a shit where the guy plays.
Right.
Like, they don't care about major markets. Like, the NBA sometimes gets too caught up in that.
I just think that, like,
the
national...
too.
I don't think market size has anything to do with it necessarily. I just think that national writers are so convinced that the Cubs are going to win the next 50 World Series... that they can't get out of their
own head.
I think
a lot of them love just being in Chicago. I think there is a love of being in Wrigley, and there's a love of the, you know, like Bob Nightingale. I mean, God, he can't get off his knees.
Well, he's the other one that I'm thinking
of. Yeah, yeah, it's right, exactly.
I mean,
and then of course his son conveniently has a beat writer job for the Reds. One fashion that, huh?
Hard. Just like Joe Buck and Jack Buck.
Exactly.
Right?
Tough for Carl Ravitch's kid just to get a job like. Pat Forty sitting with his kid at the Mizzou game.
Olivia Harlan and Kevin Harlan.
These kids haven't made. Like, by God. Sean McDonough and his dad. Like, people forget that. Like, Sean McDonough was calling World Series, like, in diapers, basically. Went for, like, CBS back in the early 90s.
Yeah, with the Joe Carter call.
Right, exactly. And that's crazy that is Sean McDonough's call. And he's, like, now, like, middle-aged, whatever, and...
Where does he even work? I don't.
He's back with college football. Basically, him and Joe Tessitore switched.
Okay.
Which I like Joe. This was the first time I've watched a Monday Night Football game. Not to
all Sean McDonough's known for is the having his voice crack
during
the playoffs. That's such a tough break for a broadcaster. I mean, that's the one thing that like you have to you know, it's you know it's fidelity. I mean, you know, like having the. Your voice, it's your voice. I mean, and you lose your voice mid-call, it sucks.
It's pretty cool, though, like, just to go back to Brewers, it is pretty cool that the wild card game's on ESPN, so we would get Matt Vasgersian calling the game, old Brewers announcer. There's a lot of love for Matty V in the Milwaukee market, and you know, so it would be great to have Matty back at Miller Park. But yeah, other awards that, you know, that was kind of went in a million places. But pitcher of the year, Josh Hader, obviously. I mean, yeah, he had a blip. I mean, no doubt about it. The racist tweets and all that stuff were an issue. And there are Cubs fans who are like, you're cheering for racists. And now they can't really say much.
Yeah. I had to deal with that at work over the weekend.
Did you?
Well, we have Cub fans at work.
Yeah. That's...
And
the thing is like, Hader...
I got him back, though.
But the thing is like, you know what? Just, I understand that, but at the same time, the guy's had a historic year. Buster Olney's been a big Josh Hader fan. I think Buster Olney might vote for him for Cy Young. I don't know if he will, but I think he's going to give him some votes. I don't think he might. I think DeGrom's the Cy Young Award winner, but I don't think it's going to be a shock if Josh Hader is in the top 10. I think he will make the top 10 of Cy Young votes, and like... only broke it down where basically if you get two strikes, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And he had those stats like 0-2, 1-2, 2-2, and like all of it's like mostly strikeouts.
Well, the thing about Hader too is, yeah, I mean, basically to your point is that he, you know, he'll pitch, he'll have an inning in the third in the bank, And he looked down and he's at like 21 pitches.
Right. And I also have to apologize to Craig Counsell, like publicly, like say I'm sorry. Because we criticized Craig Counsell to the heavens in July, in August. And yet Craig Counsell knew exactly what the hell he was doing with Josh Hader. Granted, he had a blip on Monday, gave up a couple home runs, but the guy literally did exactly what he wanted to do.
Ooh, tough break.
You play to win the game.
And we gave Counsell so much shit for not using Hader enough and all this stuff, and yet he's probably justified.
Yeah, I mean, you understood what he was doing back then. I mean, it's there were games where you were frustrated and you but he said after the game, the one in St. Louis comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Where he went with Jordan Lyles instead.
Yep. And that was a disaster.
Instead of Josh Hader, and things went south quick on him. But he said, like, look, Josh just he recovers differently. He's in that in between role, right? Like, he's not a one inning guy.
Yep.
He's not a starter. So he's gonna have to be used kind of sporadically.
You know that meme where it's like, change my mind? Like, Craig Counsell changed my mind. Like, Josh Hader should be pitching more. Change my mind. Then I watched that Cubs series when he struck out everybody, and I was like, all right, mine's changed.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one that did it for me. Like, that was one of the biggest series of the year.
Yeah.
And Josh Hader was lights out in two of the biggest moments of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, you guys know what you're doing. And I shouldn't have been that critical of you. I would say if we did a starting pitcher of the year, I'd probably say Ulysses Chacin. I mean, I've
been like a big Wade Miley fan all of a sudden.
So I was going to mention Wade Miley, and I was like, if Wade
Miley
hasn't
really, he hasn't
pitched
enough. Yeah.
It's the whole year.
He's only got like 12 starts.
And Chacin has sort of scuffled a little bit down the stretch, but still, he might. Does he fit your most surprising Brewer of the Year, or does that belong to Jesus Aguilar? I guess who's more of a surprise, Chacin or Aguilar?
I mean, Chacin probably.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because Aguilar, you saw it last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not. Three-run triple by Christian Yelich.
Oh, God. I'd suck his dick if he'd let me.
If he was right here?
Yeah, probably.
6-0 Brewers. All right.
I lost my thought.
Sorry, I get
no
score
worries.
Updates for our listeners.
No, it's all right. It's okay. They appreciate it. It makes the podcast better.
It builds it up.
So yeah, more surprising, Chacin or Aguilar. We saw it with Aguilar, like you said. And I think what you're getting to is that Chacin was a really good pitcher for San Diego at home. And it's like Petco Park is there. And it's like we all heard about how Derek Johnson was a mastermind, but you kind of did the jerk off motion because you're like, how many times?
Well,
like,
I heard you say probably at least 50 times in this podcast that Chacin was terrible against
lefties. Yeah.
And I don't know how that's – I haven't really followed up
on
that.
He's been fine against lefties.
Been fine. So, I mean, just one of those things. That's baseball, you know, where you can be – shit, Wade Miley was fucking horrible last year.
Right. Derek Johnson's a wizard. And I do think that's going to help the Brewers long term, is that if they can keep Derek Johnson, which if he takes a manager job, I don't blame him. He was a manager before for Vanderbilt. But I think – there will be pitchers who look at what Derek Johnson has done to revitalize careers and say, I want to pitch for the Brewers. Now, I mean,
Sonny Gray or somebody you can get cheap?
I don't think there's a lot of spots in the inn right now, because if you look at who's starting next year,
you think Burns will be in there.
Burns, Peralta
Jimmy.
Jimmy. Davies. Maybe.
Maybe.
Woodruff. Maybe.
Chase. Chase is locked up.
Yeah, you have Chase for that deal. I think they may try to trade some of their guys like
Chase.
I mean,
disappointment of the year, is that Chase?
Oh, man.
He was your opening day starter. He's given up like 30 home runs this year. He's turned into Marco Estrada a little bit.
Yeah, I'll
go with it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think Chase is disappointment. I think it's, if you had to do a top three in any order, it's Chase. It's Matt Albers, because you signed him to a 2-year deal.
True.
He was kind of supposed to be good.
Jeez, where's he been?
He just got fat on sausage. Like, the fat Albers thing is a real thing. Like, my dad's like,
he hasn't pitched in a long time.
He pitched on Sunday at the end of the game and gave up a 2-run homer to Adam Frazier.
Yeah.
He might pitch tonight.
That fucker Adam Frazier, by
the
way.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Jesus. Adam Frazier forever.
I would trade somebody to get him, though.
But anyways.
Scope and Domingo Santana. Who says no?
I don't know.
The Pirates do.
Yeah, I know. the Albers, you know, was brought in and he has another year, but my dad's like, he needs a hard, pyometric, workout regimen. And I kind of want to be like, well, you're probably the last guy to talk about this. But
yeah, exactly. I don't think any of us can talk
here. You can't throw stones, Johnny. But no.
Another disappointment.
Eric Thames.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah.
Thames is terrible. Yeah. You're right. That's not what I was thinking.
The thing with Eric Thames, what happened was, is he had a spot when Ryan Braun was kind of off injured, and Ryan Braun got hot and Eric Thames didn't, and then Eric Thames got buried on the bench.
Correct. And that's a direct, I think, correlation there.
He got lost in the shuffle
and just sort of couldn't get back going. I was gonna say Ryan Braun.
Ooh. Really?
It's like a sneaky disappointment. Like, I mean, I love Ryan Braun just as much as you do and everybody else.
So he's at 17 home runs. Pull up his stats.
He was hitting 229 at one point.
Well, right.
And he's up to like 250 now. But he's been fine in the second half. But it's just like kind of, I don't know, maybe again it's just like, it's hard kind of coping with the beginning of the end for him.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some of that.
But it's just he's not the same.
Well, yeah. Maybe this is the first year where we all realized and seen a guy like, you know what it is, Mitch? He's not a disappointment. You realize that he's not the same Ryan Braun anymore officially. We kind of had seen signs of that. Yeah. But then when you're watching Christian Yelich, you're watching Lorenzo Cain, you're watching Jesus Aguilar at certain points of the season, even a guy like Travis Shaw.
It's kind of like, why is Braun not doing this?
Yes, exactly. And you just realize he's never going to do that again.
Let me get the numbers here. 249.
And he hits
16 homers and 56. It might be 17 now.
17 now.
So it could be up over 250, technically. Yeah, he's played a lot of games. He played a lot more games than I thought, too, this year. So he's been healthy. But it's just 119 games. Yeah.
So to wrap it up, favorite game of the year, I think, will be the 15-inning one. I don't think you'll ever get a game like that.
The Pittsburgh game?
Oh, dude, that was unbelievable.
That was an unbelievable comeback.
I was there for it. I was there for the entire, you know, baseball is one of those sports where we try to watch every game, but you just can't get to them.
Correct.
There's a lot of stuff going on. The fact that I put, you know, my girlfriend, I went to bed right around the eighth or ninth inning, I stayed up for the whole thing, was engaged. I rarely have like a victory beer afterwards, just sitting at home. I cracked a Miller Lite after the game.
That was like a 1 a.m. finish,
1 a.m. finish, yeah. I taped the podcast right after. But not to brag. Yeah, and then most disappointing game, I would say, same month. No, I was going to say that San Diego game because that was really a bummer, but probably the five-game sweep of Pittsburgh without question. Because you ask yourself, what if they take two out of five? You know, they're leading the division.
Like they got, you know, they should have won at least two.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, people were talking about sweeping that, and then they got swept.
Yeah.
And, that's definitely tough. The San Diego one was tough as well. Man, I don't know. I have to look at this calendar here a little bit. I mean, the San Diego one was tough because that was when Corey Knebel had to get demoted, for God's sake.
They had so many walk-offs this year. I mean, the Jesus Aguilar 13-pitch walk-off in the early part of the season was incredible.
That was against the
Marlins.
Oh, yeah.
That was in third week of the year before we really knew Aguilar was kind of going to be a thing. The Braun Yelich back-to-back home runs against the Cardinals early on in the season was fantastic.
The Thames walk-off, and August, first week of August, right?
Oh,
that was probably the last time Thames did something last night.
You know what's forgot about is their comeback against Colorado at Colorado on a Friday night. We went out for Morgan's birthday, my girlfriend, and then we're celebrating at the Nomad because Manny Pena just popped one over the wall.
Well, and they were down like what, 10-4?
10-3. I don't know. It was crazy.
You had speaking of that series, you had the Freddie Peralta debut
Mother's Day. Freddie Peralta debut was incredible. Christian Yelich cycle. I mean, both of them.
Times two.
Dude.
The 13-12 game in Cincinnati was kind of...
Oh, that game. I didn't watch that much of that game.
I caught the end, though.
What day was that?
It was like a Wednesday night, August 29th.
It was our anniversary. It was Morgan and I's anniversary. So I was kind of not on baseball duty that night, but I'm like
22 hits.
I'm like watching it through the phone, like watching it on tweets, and I'm just like, son of a bitch.
22 hits in that game.
That's crazy.
You had the a crap game of the year, if we may.
Yeah.
Was in August against Atlanta when they had 19 hits and lost.
Oh, God. That Sunday game. Terrible. But I to put a bow on it, I mean, the fact is that there were so many memorable moments this year. So really, no matter what happens, barring an epic collapse, even if it well, no, I can't even say that. Because if that happens, I might just stay in London and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, like, this has been a really fun fucking year. Almost more fun than 2011. I don't know. It's hard to compare.
2011 is, I will probably never be touched for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Tony Plush, I was in college. Yeah, there was a lot going on there that yep. was just fantastic. That was first couple months of college with the Brewers in the postseason.
And now we're old men.
Now we're old and washed.
Mm-hmm.
But still, if the Brewers go to clinch the World Series, I will be out in Milwaukee drinking literally every piece of alcohol in there, singing "Tripping to Boston" as if they're playing the Red Sox for the World Series.
Who do you root for in that one? That'd be tough.
Fuck you. Just go fuck yourself. How dare you? But no, I definitely think the
you play to.
Oh, that's the wrong drop.
I don't know what else I can say. If you want me to say I fucked up, I fucked up.
You do think this team could get to the World Series, though, right? I said that on the other
time
yesterday.
I mean, it's, you know, anything can happen in baseball.
Okay. All right.
And I'm keeping an open mind.
Yeah. You're open to it.
I certainly think they could.
Right.
I don't think it's likely.
Right. I mean, it's their odds are going to be low, but you bet your boy will take a flyer on it.
Yeah. And, you know. I mean, my reasoning will piss you off, I'm sure.
It's fine.
I think that you need an ace in the playoffs.
Probably.
It sucks.
We'll see. All right.
That's like the final piece, you know?
Right, exactly. That's the last piece of the puzzle. Exactly.
They could use Travis Shaw to get his head out of his ass a little bit more.
I started to compare them, though, to those Kansas City teams. And you think about
yeah, I mean,
they had Johnny Cueto, sure, but they didn't really have that ace of pitching staff.
Yeah, well, they had the bullpen.
And James Shields.
It was a six-inning game.
Exactly. James Shields, Cueto, Danny Duffy. I mean, kind of whatever.
Big game, James.
Wade Miley's going to get so drunk when they clinch the playoffs. He's a Louisiana boy. Going to have like a whole horseshoe of
Wade and Stevie Vogt.
Yeah. Because sure, the conversation between those two are. Wade just seems like a guy that I could have about 100 beers with.
Yeah. Moonshine.
I promise we're talking about the Packers, but who would be the brewer that you could have 100 beers with? Is it Wade Miley?
Me? Stephen Vogt, probably. Yeah, I know he's hardly even a player at this point, but.
Yeah. If I tried to do that with Chase Anderson, he'd just tell me about God and tell me I shouldn't jerk off or something like that.
Yeah, Chase. Who else?
I think Lorenzo
Eric
Cain
Thames.
Would be
fun. Yeah, Eric Thames is a cool dude.
Lorenzo Cain, Travis Shaw. They're all good guys. They're all guys.
Not a big Shaw guy.
Oh, interesting. So
I've talked to him before in person and he
not a fan.
He's a little short.
Oh, interesting. Is short as in short? No, I'm
short
just
as
kidding.
In yeah, no, he's not a short per dude. He's like 6'3".
He has to be careful about what Instagram posts he's liking. I'll just say that.
Oh,
I'm just
really?
Gonna leave that there. Food for thought, Travis.
Fucking internet police over here, Charlie.
Yeah, just be a little careful. Like, don't necessarily be liking college girls from Alabama.
Why not?
Got a wife, got a kid. Just maybe not.
Well, I mean,
I would not advise
It's a different world for professional athletes, Charlie.
I guess. I don't know. I mean she gets likes from Tyler Sagan.
I mean,
so,
we need to sort of rehash the whole, you know, white professional athlete to wife relationship and the assumed.
No, it's probably not a good time for that exactly. topic. Think about just what's going on.
Exactly.
All right, so moving on to the Packers. I feel like we tried to avoid this as much as possible. Obviously, it caught you and I by surprise because we both were like, yeah, fuck.
Well, I mean,
Redskins, whatever.
The Redskins had just put up 9 points against Indy at home.
But then the Colts only gave up 20 to the Eagles, so that's like, Colts might actually have a decent defense.
Which they haven't had in, like, my entire life.
Exactly. And so, no worries. And the fact is, it's like, I heard that through.
Jeez.
Oh, come on.
There we go.
But anyways, you know, the fact is the Packers kind of looked,
And you have the Clay Matthews hit yet again. That's been kind of the something to take your anger out on. And we touched on this. I mean, it's just, and I thought of that, you know, I think after the game, like, you know, that play didn't have anything to do with the game. It's just one of those things where, you know, people are going to find something to take their anger
out. I'm glad J.J. Watt said something after Monday night where you had a couple more of these penalties happen. And J.J. basically, you know, said these are out of control. And then lo and behold, the league's like, the competition committee is like, going to look at this week. And they have a conference call.
It took J.J. Watt to say something.
No, but it was regularly scheduled and they were already reporting that. But the fact that guys like J.J. Watt, Troy Aikman, Clay Matthews obviously says his piece, Aaron Rodgers. You have everybody out in front of this saying their piece and speaking out against it who aren't just like the usual shit talkers.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. And that's really important. And
J.J. Watt, I believe, is the, you know, top five face of the NFL right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, with everything he's done.
And when that penalty was called, I was just like, why am I watching this? Like, I felt very good. I haven't been one about, protest the league or whatever, but I didn't want to watch any of Chicago and Arizona and Dick Stockton mispronouncing names.
So that's a horrible game. And but, then you have a guy, an announcer who's out to pasture, obviously, as you just alluded
just
to.
Just die, Dick.
I'm assuming he lives in Arizona, so the Cardinals fans get him all the time, probably.
Oh, God. But anyways,
Yadier Molina, you motherfucker.
Okay, it's easy. So the thing is I will say this, that I watched Tour Championship and felt good about it after that game because it also took you away from the football, but it also was like, you know what? This is
well, you would also trash the Cowboys and Seahawks, you know, game too.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody needs to tell the league the Seahawks aren't that good anymore.
Right. And if I were the league, and I know flex scheduling doesn't start till week 5, but I would be doing everything possible to get Patrick Mahomes in front of every week.
Yeah.
You have the Chiefs in a prime time spot.
Yeah, because I haven't even come close to seeing them.
Right,
yet,
and he plays ESPN, gets that again. So ESPN's actually had sort of the good draw. You know, the Steelers, Buccaneers had
a
lot of interest.
Yep.
Now they get Chiefs Broncos next Sunday in Mile High. So you have Patrick Mahomes going to a very tough environment, probably the toughest he's faced against a pretty good, probably the best secondary he's faced too.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting. And that's always a good game. Chiefs Broncos always delivers.
Yeah,
even though they're two teams you
AFC
don't like.
AFC West, you know,
but,
showing out.
But I did look at, you know, I think
Raiders are like a decent 0-3.
Yeah, okay.
The one this last Sunday sucks, though.
The Raiders are a first half team. That's all they are. I mean, you can bet first half lines on the Raiders and win a ton of money.
Okay.
And then the second half.
So Derek Carr breaks his leg, then they fall apart in the second half.
You know, with the Packers going back there, I think it's clear that there are some communication issues with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers not practicing is affecting the team. I was looking at some of the Twitter tape today, you know, because a lot of the All-22 comes out today, so a lot of people do, like, reviews, and they tweet it out and stuff like that. Don't get banned by the NFL. And he missed Cobb on a deep ball early on in the game. Like, Cobb was untouched, apparently, according to Zach Krause, who's the guy I was using today. But, like, he's like, I had to apologize to Cobb because Cobb, like, played really well in the first half. And so it almost makes you wonder, did it throw Randall Cobb off a little bit that he was not getting the ball when he thought he was? And then he'd get these
just
tight passes and
frustrated.
Drop it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Packers went away from what kind of worked in week 1 with Rodgers getting hurt. I mean, there didn't seem to be as much. You know, week 1, they had no choice, you know. It seems like McCarthy he always has to get his back up against the wall, right?
They came out flat, and the fact of the matter is that they play way too passive to start games. They just do not come out. I think that has become the biggest frustration for me with Mike McCarthy, is I can't remember the last time that the Packers came out and were up 14-0 on a team and jumped all over a
team.
They
did that all the time in like 20, like up until like...
Yeah.
2015.
Exactly. It's like they don't worry about a script. They just sort of let the game come to them. And it's like, what the hell were they scouting in the first half where they gave up 329 yards and then they didn't even give up 100 in the second half? Once again, if you're saying this defense is terrible, you really need to like look at the full picture, and you can't just look at a certain thing here and there. Mm-hmm. And then, oh yeah, by the way, for the people who are like, oh, they should sign somebody, guess what? They fucking did. They signed Breland. So Breland was a guy who signed a deal with Carolina. Carolina. He was in Washington. He got like glass in his foot, or he had some injury, and then the deal couldn't get done. So he's been a free agent since then. I don't know what the deal was for, but Breland now and on the Packers, and it adds definitely a little more veteran leadership. He'll probably play on the outside. He was Josh Norman's other side last year. I would imagine he takes over for Kevin King, and then you put Jackson and Alexander in the slot. Or Alexander on the other side, with Tron Williams rotating around. So, and he gets a couple games to really kind of get his feel right before they kind of go with Rams and Patriots. Like, that's the other crazy thing. Like, I couldn't understand why Packer fans were so quick to jump ship. I mean, maybe it's just a time-honored September tradition, but you play the Bills, you play the Lions, and you play a Jimmy Garoppolo-less 49ers team. Yeah. Your next three games, two out of those three are at Lambeau. One's at Detroit, where you've done okay at. And I think Detroit just sort of played with a lot of pride against New England. I don't think that's an indication of how good Detroit is.
And Tony Dungy pointed out before the game on Sunday night, saying he got his first win as a head coach against his old team in like week three.
Really?
So I thought like, wow. Maybe that's probably going to happen tonight.
I regretted betting on the Patriots then and there.
Yeah. Because
I definitely did.
So did I.
Put a lot of money on the Patriots today, and that fucked that way.
I think you're right. The Lions, you got to remember they got blown out by the Jets, who have looked terrible. Right. They allowed the Browns to win.
They gave up a ton of points to the 49ers, even though that was with Garoppolo. But I think the Lions are kind of fraudulent. I just think they had a good game plan rolling for this one. So the Packers could easily be 4-1-1. And I really think with that schedule, you can only maybe lose one of those games. But honestly, it's kind of unacceptable. If you're a Super Bowl team, if you're a playoff team.
To lose to the Bills.
If you lose to the Bills, you lose to the Lions.
So does that change your perception of the Vikings then?
You know what? I don't know what.
Because I'm the one who's been on the Vikings.
To think about the Vikings because of the Everson Griffin situation. So I don't know how much you guys have been following that.
I just saw the headline.
I was talking to the audience, but you as well.
Correct.
It's been very weird because there's so much conflicting reports. There's a source that tells, an NFL.com writer one thing, and then the Vikings go ahead and deny that. They denied that they banned him from practice and made him get a mental health evaluation. And let me tell you, and I said this in the blog yesterday, if this is a CTE thing, it is going to be the biggest story
of the season.
In the NFL and maybe in sports this year. 100%, without question.
That he has, mental health issues from...
If an active player has CTE, a star player, like Everson Griffin, maybe he's not a star to the national broadcast, but we know Everson Griffin. He's a guy who's inflicted pain on the Packers. Dave Bakhtiari has played better than him, but don't let the record show. But still, it would be a huge story. So I don't really know where the Vikings' headspace is at. I think they can beat the Rams this weekend. I think everybody is still blowing the Rams, which I get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I was wrong about them because I mean,
the Rams are the best team in the league.
No, 100%. But you lose Talib and Marcus Peters now for a month, and you have to go up against Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in a short week.
Yeah,
I think that bodes well for the Vikings.
That certainly does. I mean, the Vikings have kind of struggled on offense too.
Right.
Obviously, the Bills. I mean, what's their defense? Nothing to sneeze at, really.
I think what we didn't consider a lot in week three for a lot of these teams was pride. Like, the Bills looked at it as like, okay, a guy quit on us at halftime. Vontae Davis walked out. We were made the laughingstock of the league. We were a 17-point dog. And whether they're like, Josh Allen was like, I don't pay attention to that. That's a lie. You know it.
Yeah.
You know what everybody's saying about you.
That's a very good point to think about, too, when you're picking games next year. Maybe week three is that sort of gut check.
Yeah, keep that in that tickler file, right?
Like, that's pretty good. Like, week three, week four is like where teams got to kind of, it's either we're fucked after this or we can kind of turn our season
right,
around.
Right, exactly. And I think also, too, like Washington got embarrassed at home. Washington heard all the things about... we have such low attendance and nobody's showing up for games and They came
it's
out
be 90% Packer fans.
Right. They came out firing, and the Packers didn't. And Mike Patton just got kind of hit in the mouth and didn't know what to expect. Yeah. And I'm not.
Plus,
like,
you had the whole Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers thing too. The little kind of little brother there.
And
Alex Smith has become a sneaky good like deep threat quarterback, which is not what he's known for. Traditionally,
I said Washington could be a playoff team this year, and you laughed at me, and I feel good about it now. I feel better.
I don't recall that, but I have selective memory.
But I do feel good about the Packers against the Bills. I think Josh Allen's a fine quarterback. I think he does some things. They're lacking in talent. I think Mike Patton can really get to him from a blitzing perspective. And the Packers, I like.
Well, we haven't seen that yet, and we're down Mo Wilkinson.
That's true. Big game for Kentrell Bryce too. I don't know. I mean, Kentrell Bryce. A lot of people are. Talk about a guy that people have jumped ship on. That's probably public enemy number one.
Well, that's a rough week.
Well, when you have like Leroy Butler and Nick Collins both trashing you on Twitter in real time, it's tough luck.
Well, that's two top five probably former Packers in the state of Wisconsin.
Right, and they're both telling you pass the sticks, fam. Yeah. And then Byron Bell's ass will then now take
quickly
rank.
Become yeah.
Oh God, I don't know what.
Ryan Bulaga kind of sucks too.
Yeah, and he has back injury. I don't know.
I just think Bulaga is just falling apart, and it's just like
exactly.
It might be time to like.
Well, if you look back and with this, we'll see if this is a podcast topic. But let's just
it
say,
seems like every time I look up, it's a penalty on him.
Right.
Or like,
let's just say the Packers are a I don't know. Let's just say they're kind of 500, 5-5, 6-6.
I'm a little worried about that, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
I don't think it's out of the world.
It's just like, of course, Rodgers gets hurt the first game.
Right.
So you got to worry about that all fucking season,
right.
Probably.
Absolutely.
He's going to play, but it's just like.
Right. I know.
Unless the unthinkable happens, but.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in, let's just say this. So you have three games right now. Say they lose two of those. So then there are 2-3-1 heading into their bye. Massive red flags. 100%. But I think what we'll really come to find out is how much Ted Thompson.
Well, but in typical Packer, they'll get it to, they can. It seems like even like last year, no business. Then all of a sudden they were like a play away from making the playoffs.
Exactly.
Pretty much. I mean, it's just you got Rodgers and like you get the whole run the table thing.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it can just no matter what, as long as there's three or four games left.
Right. No, I understand that. But I think what I was going to say was I think we're really starting to see how much Ted Thompson's decision making down the stretch hurt this team from draft picks like Clint Dix, from not keeping guy like TJ Lang, who's been pretty good for Detroit.
Morgan Burnett.
Well,
you probably wouldn't have Kentrell Bryce out there.
Right. But he's been getting burned in Pittsburgh.
True,
so what's the difference?
True.
So But no, that was a Gunnekus move. I mean, Gunnekus decided not to keep Morgan Burnett.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of, Ted Thompson made some. Nick Perry has been invisible.
Well, and you've got to rebuild the roster, reshape it.
Right. And Gary Ellerson called it a rebuilding year at the start of the year, and I scoffed at it, but he might not be entirely wrong there.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Like I said, next week will be interesting. The boys, Murph and Mitch, will hold down the fort. And I will be back in a couple weeks. So it's been fun. Like I said, I'll try to check in as much as I can. Take care of yourselves. Have a great rest of the week, Tappers. We'll talk in the Daily Tap tomorrow.
See ya.
Later.